Here are the stories we're covering this week in the Category5.tv newsroom. A tiny drone built to pollinate flowers has been built in Japan. A college network has been attacked with its own insecure IoT devices. A new implant method could give amputees direct nerve control of artificial limbs. Have a Vizio TV? It's spying on you. And a passenger carrying drone is ready to fly in Dubai. These stories are coming right up. Don't go anywhere.
Now here's another great way you can support the shows you love from the Category5.tv network by shopping at GearBest.
That's right, Jeff. Cat5.tv/GearBest. It's an online store for the geek streak in you.
Or the loved ones.
Well, of course. I mean, especially your loved ones, right? Because Cat5.tv/GearBest, quite frankly, has all of the greatest tech gifts that you could ever hope for at rock-bottom prices.
Do they have cell phones?
You betcha. Cat5.tv/GearBest has a wide assortment of unlocked Android cell phones and tablets.
What about consumer electronics? Those make a great gift.
Absolutely. From high-tech watches to action cameras, headphones, even virtual reality headsets. Cat5.tv/GearBest has you covered. They literally have it all, Jeff. Literally.
Really?
It's like a superstore right from the comfort of your own chair at your computer through the interweb.
Yeah, there's no way they have it all.
It's true.
It's just a bunch of random electronics.
Test me.
What about clothes?
Yep. Both men and women, fashionable apparel at rock bottom, super duper prices.
Kind of like this?
Well, look at this coat. What do you think? It's a slimming mock leather jacket.
I love it.
It's available for less than $30 plus free shipping at cat5.tv/gearbest.
All right. You kind of got me there.
Wow. Any other questions for me, Jeff?
Now that the winter has passed, flying season, do they have any good deals on, say, drone copters?
Oh, my goodness. Well, check this out. Dude, they have everything. Check out over 500 various drones. And not only that, they're available marked down by about 30 to up to 63% off the regular price.
Love it. What's the website again?
Well, you're going to find GearBest on our partners' pages for any of your favorite Category 5 TV shows like New Every Day, Category 5 Technology TV, The Pixel Shadow. But of course, if you want to shop absolutely right now and you want to go straight to the site, all you have to do is visit cat5.tv/GearBest.
See, that's easy. Cat5.tv/GearBest.
That's right. Happy shopping.
All right, I'm Sasha Dermatis, and here are the top stories for the week of February 22nd, 2017. An engineer in Japan has built a 1.6-inch pollinator bot and successfully tested it in his lab. The drone's creator has armed it with paintbrush hairs that are covered in a special gel, sticky enough to pick pollen up, but not so sticky that it holds on to the pollen when it brushes against something else. They write that his experiments with the tiny drone show that the drone can indeed carry pollen from flower to flower in the way an insect would, though he has yet to confirm that seeds result from this pollination. While flown by a human pilot, he next hopes to equip the drones with their own flower-recognizing technology. Four experts discussed the drones, asking, could a fleet of robo-pollinators replace or at least supplement bees? One said, there is no substitute for bees. Another pointed out that even if robo-bees are developed, some flowers will prove harder to pollinate than others. A third expert thought the technology could scale, though it would need to be mass-produced and the engineers would need to develop a reusable pollen-collecting gel. But a fourth expert remained worried that it just couldn't scale without becoming too expensive. I'm not sure that's going to be cheap enough not to make blueberries hundreds of dollars a pint, he says. Three of those experts also agreed that the best solution is just wild bees, because domesticated or not, all they have to do is make sure to set aside enough land conductive to the bees' habitat.
I agree.
The
you
bees
agree?
The bees just need a home.
This sounds like Jeff being missing the point entirely of the coolness of a pollinating drone.
Okay, so here's the problem, and this could be a Jeff mindset of mine, but right. I did watch Black Mirror, and I know I've talked about this in the past.
I saw a TV show that made it look terrible, so it's probably terrible.
Yeah. Okay, so watch this show. Seriously. In the episode, they come up with tiny little robot bees. Literally. Yeah. And then the bees start assassinating people, and I can't quite make the connection as to why, but it's people who aren't liked very much.
And you think that's where they're going with this?
But, okay, so these bees can recognize flowers, and they pollinate flowers, and they no longer need human direction to do it. So they form their own swarms and colonies, and they start pollinating like crazy, and everybody's happy about it, but then people start dying from the bees. Because
this is fiction. You're making this up from a TV show.
I know I'm making it up from a TV show, but it just seems like...
Okay.
It seems scary.
Other side of the coin.
Okay.
Let's plant a garden on Mars. Okay?
Okay.
Let's take a whole... like box load of pollinating robots, drones, okay, that are autonomous, that will land themselves in a charging bay and then get up and fly out and pollinate again. Mm-hmm. So send that out in advance of humans being sent out.
So that there's oxygen?
So that there's oxygen, so that there's fruit, so that all of these things that would have had to have been transported on this ship are now there growing. In okay. some kind of a hydroponics kind
right.
of thing.
So but we've sort got of a pollination happening. Sublimation of the bees, not a replacement
yeah.
of the bees.
Oh, yeah. No, as far as I'm concerned, as soon as humanity says, oh, we don't need bees anymore, then there's a big problem. No, I don't think that's where they're going.
Okay.
It's a supplemental thing, or I think it would really work well in that kind of an environment.
Right.
Where they don't need to have air to get started on pollinating and stuff like that, I guess.
Right. Okay. All right. So you should do maybe your own happy Robo Bee show.
My own happy Robo Bee show.
Robo Bee show.
We'll call it Robo Bee by Robbie.
Okay. I do encourage you, though, to watch that episode of Black Mirror just so you see where I'm coming from.
Okay.
All right.
I feel like we've already seen it here today.
An attacker compromised over 5,000 IoT devices on a campus network, including vending machines and light sensors, and then used them to attack that same network. ZDNet confirms, in this instance, all of the DNS requests were attempting to look up seafood restaurants, though the attack was eventually blocked by cybersecurity professionals. Verizon's managing principal of investigative response blames the problem on devices configured using default credentials and says it's only going to get worse. Mm. There's going to be so many of these things used by people with very limited understanding of what they are. There's going to be endless amounts of technology out there with people, and people are easily going to be able to get access to. The article suggests ensuring that the IoT devices are on a completely different network to the rest of the IT estate. But it ends by warning that until IoT manufacturers bother to properly secure their devices and the organizations which deploy them learn to properly manage them, DDoS attacks by IoT botnets are going to remain a huge threat.
Sure.
We've talked about this before. This
yeah.
is all about passwords and protecting
it
things.
It kind of does become a little bit of review mm-hmm. here on the show. But yeah, I think you know the thing is that we get an internet cable modem sent to us by our cable provider to give us internet access. We mm-hmm. plug it in. It works. We've got access to Wi-Fi. And so we're happy. Mm-hmm. We never think that, okay, well, it has the passwords on it that my internet service provider pre-configured. Mm-hmm. Those passwords are readily available on the internet.
Yeah.
So as soon as somebody puts together a script that goes out and searches for, say, printers, we talked about this last week.
Yes.
150,000 printers were compromised because they had the default usernames and passwords. Mm-hmm. People connect them to their network because they want to be able to print to them wirelessly. And but now they're compromised.
Yeah.
So, no, we've got to set up strong passwords, even on our internal devices, our Internet of Things.
Exactly. It's really hard to get yourself in the mindset that this is actually something you need to do.
It's
right?
a connected device.
But
we've got to realize it's not, just because it's in my house, just because yeah. it's sitting in my basement on a shelf, doesn't mean that it's not accessible by the rest of the world.
Exactly. Mind you, right now I'm having a hard time accessing my own wireless printer, so I feel like nobody else is going to be able to access it.
You think so, eh? When it starts spewing out robots, you'll know.
Yeah, yeah. A group of researchers have developed a new kind of human-machine interface that detects individual neuron signals for use in controlling artificial limbs. The group's findings, published on February 6th in the journal Nature, were reached using a virtual prosthetic rather than a physical device. But the authors say that their neuroelectric interface could greatly improve on existing prosthetic control methods and gave six subjects who had lost arms intuitive control of multiple degrees of freedom. Current prosthetics mostly rely on signals from a user's muscles, sometimes after reconnecting them to nerves from their missing limbs. But according to the new paper, that method generates relatively imprecise data. In the new study, researchers still used muscles as a sort of amplifier, reading their signals with implanted electromyographical sensors. But they filtered the noise of the muscle activation, giving more direct readings of neuron signals. Then they mapped the nerve signals that would normally control particular motions and used them as inputs for the virtual prosthetic. This gave test subjects much more accurate and precise control. By one metric, they got an average of 97% signal accuracy compared to between 70 and 85% for existing methods. That's incredible. In addition to enhanced motion accuracy, the use of decoded neural information generally showed more accurate measurement of the force of the subject's intended movements. While there is some advanced work on myoelectric sensors that can control prosthetics without being surgically implanted, this new method could offer benefits that outweigh the inconvenience of surgery. I would agree. The next step for the team will be to demonstrate its effectiveness with a physical prosthesis. I love this. Now, I don't know how many people know, my mother is a thalidomide baby. She was born with like only one and a, like a half arm, right? Okay. So she has her arm up to her elbow.
But she was born that way. She's not an amputee.
She's not an amputee. Okay. But I'm thinking, I mean, as things develop, now, I mean, I don't know whether or not this is going to work in her case, especially with the fact that she is not young.
Right.
I love you. But so there's some time that needs to develop. But can you imagine if you're born with, like, not a full limb, mm-hmm. that you could actually, as a child and as you grow, like, develop the ability to use both of
That'd
your hands?
It'd be astonishing. I think the only thing you'd be lacking at that point is the sense of feel, the sense of touch.
But could they program that in? Right?
Maybe.
Because it's just a matter of your brain recognizing it,
true,
right?
True.
So you might be able to program in a sense of touch.
It's got to be artificial, though.
Yeah, but I think you could do it. I think it could be done.
Sasha's going to figure that out.
Right?
So I'm just impressed with the fact that they can control an arm with 97% accuracy. And I'm saying arm, but so now in your mom's case, what I wonder is, because she was born that way, are the nerve endings there that would need to be tapped into?
I would think so. Like, yeah. There's nerves down her arm.
I don't know how,
right?
That... Yeah, yeah.
So there must be, right? It's just a matter of training the brain, right? If you do it at a young enough age.
Yeah.
I don't know what the neuroplasticity is later on in life.
I don't even know how to say that, let alone what it is.
Right, but I'm thinking, like, in the future... Okay, so now I'm on Team B. Because now I'm thinking, in the future, if you can do things like that, then that robot hand, right, the prosthetic, it might be able to touch something cold and actually get a feedback into it,
yeah,
into
maybe.
The brain,
sure.
that's cold or that's hot, but without hurting you. Oh, it's amazing.
But right now they're talking about the ability to control the pressure.
I know.
So to be able to be able to, you know, to do that, you know, like, we take for granted,
right,
that, you know, there's a hit, there's a punch, and
right.
then there's the soft touch. And for somebody who doesn't have or has lost a limb.
Or to tie shoelaces. Like, that takes intricate,
sure,
delicate,
yeah.
you know.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So cool. Okay. Vizio, one of the world's biggest makers of smart TVs, is paying $2.2 million to settle charges that it collected viewing habits from 11 million devices without the knowledge or consent of the people watching them. Your TV is watching you. According to a complaint filed Monday by the U.S. Federal Trade Commission, internet-connected TVs from Vizio contained ACR, short for Automated Content Recognition software, without asking for permission. The ACR code captured second-by-second information about the video the TVs displayed. The software collected other personal information and transmitted it along with viewing data to servers controlled by the manufacturer. Vizio then sold the data to unnamed third parties for purposes of audience measurement analysis and tracking. The tracking started in February 2014 on both new TVs and previously sold devices that didn't originally ship with ACR software installed. The software periodically appended IP addresses to the collected data and also made it possible for more detailed personal information, including age, sex, income, marital status, household size, education level, home ownership, and home values to be associated. This is ridiculous. The collection occurred under a setting that was described as smart interactivity feature, a smart interactivity feature that enables program offers and suggestions. So it sounds kind of benign. The menu never informed users that the feature also transmitted viewing habits or other personal information. In addition, security researchers had previously found that the Vizio TVs failed to properly validate the HTTPS certificates of servers they connected to when transmitting viewing habit data. That made it trivial for anyone who had the ability to monitor and control the internet traffic passing between the TV and the Vizio servers to impersonate the servers and view or tamper with the transmitted data. Under the terms of the settlement, Vizio will pay $1.5 million to the FTC and $700,000 to the New Jersey Division of Consumer Affairs. The settlement also requires Vizio to delete all data collected before March 1st, 2016. I don't know that that's enough of a punishment, to be honest. I don't like that.
No.
You can't lie and say you're doing...
They didn't lie. They just didn't tell the truth.
That is samesies. That's lying.
Would you like this really cool feature? What would you say to that question?
Yeah, interactivity.
Yes.
Like, yes, of course.
Yeah.
Do you want
I want that.
Do you want us to recommend things
for you? Oh, by the way, we're doing all this stuff behind the scenes.
Of course you can recommend what I would like because you know exactly what I'm watching.
At least they got called on it.
Holy.
You know? Yeah.
Holy. That is ridiculous. How can you do that?
Does anyone who's watching this own a Vizio TV? And if so, please comment below what action you have had to take in order to protect your personal confidential data. How does this make you feel?
They wouldn't even know that they're until this exact moment that their data.
Oh, sorry to break it to you.
Your TV.
Is there a Vizio logo right there?
If you're watching us on a Vizio, the Vizio is watching you watch us. That's
we
crazy.
In turn are purchasing your personal data.
Yeah.
That's I know crazy. Where you live.
Your household income. Oh, I don't like it at all. Okay.
That's the world we live in, folks.
Okay, this is something cool about the world we live in.
Oh, awesome. I need cool.
Yeah. Dubai is about to have a passenger carrying drone regularly buzzing through its skyline of the futuristic city-state. The arrival of the Chinese-made Ehang 184, which has already... has had its flying debut over Dubai's iconic sail-shaped skyscraper hotel, comes as the city has partnered with several cutting-edge technology companies to introduce futuristic transportation, including a hyperloop, Elon Musk's floating pod that travels at speeds of up to 1,220 kilometers an hour. The question is whether Ehang 184 passenger drone will really take off as a transportation alternative in this car-clogged city already home to the world's longest driverless metro line. The head of Dubai's Roads and Transportation Agency said in speaking about the drone, "This is not only a model. We have actually experimented with this vehicle flying in Dubai's skies." That's cool. The craft can carry a passenger weighing up to 220 pounds and a small suitcase.
Or, alternatively, a suitcase weighing 220 pounds and a small person.
And a small person.
A small person.
Or two people sitting on each other's laps at 110 pounds
Not sure that's legal.
After strapping into its race car style seat, the craft's sole passenger selects a destination on a touch screen in front of the seat, and the drone flies there autonomously. The drone, which has a battery allowing for a half-hour flight time and a range of up to 50 kilometers, will be monitored remotely by a control room on the ground. It has a top speed of 160 kilometers an hour, but authorities say it will be operated typically at 100 kilometers an hour. The drone has been examined by the Dubai Civil Aviation Authority, who revealed it was controlled through 4G mobile internet. It is poised to begin regular operations in July. Okay, so the last part leads me to the question. Okay, 4G mobile internet. So
it's like your phone.
Your phone. So cellular okay, so service. Sometimes your cellular network crashes.
Yeah.
Like sometimes there's a solar flare. I think that's what causes it. I don't know actually.
The positioning of the moon.
I don't like. Sometimes your network crashes. And if your network crashes, what happens to your solo pod fly in Dubai guy?
Okay, well, it uses... Well, I guess the question becomes, what does it use LTE for?
Right.
To communicate back with, you know, with central command kind of thing for the autonomous cloud infrastructure that powers its brain? Quite possibly. I would expect that it must, you know, that's how it must communicate back to central command, right? But the fact is, it's going to have a GPS. It's going to have autonomous GPS units that... communicate with the GPS satellites, and at any time, if you've ever flown a drone that has GPS, you're going to be connected to 4, 5 or more GPS satellites at any given time. So if one goes out of range or loses connection, you're communicating with others at the same time. But quite often, I mean, if this is anything like, and this is going to be, this has to be, like, this is carrying a passenger, so it's got to be the best autonomous features of drone usage. And I've flown my drone, and I know that if I lose satellite signal, it's going to just hover there. Or it's going to, if in good cases, it's going to return home to me, or it's going to just, there's a couple of different modes, but if I lose connection with my controller, I can either have my drone sit hovering automatically or come back home to me.
Okay.
So it would have features like that. So if LTE lost connection, it would say, okay, I've lost connection, either hover here or safely land at a, you know, maybe they have specific landing sites that are allowed to land at.
That's true. It was a great story until I heard cellular network, and I thought, oh, sometimes my cell phone's a little dodgy.
I got thinking about the fact that, you know, we think about it traveling at 100 kilometers an hour when it can go faster, and you think 100 kilometers an hour, that's not very fast. Considering people do, you know, here around here, 120 on the highway is not unheard of.
Right.
Sometimes faster, not myself, but you see people zooming by me. So it doesn't sound very fast when we're traveling like that. But when you're in a clogged, congested city where traffic is stopped, 100 kilometers an hour is going to be like paradise for the guy who's got to get to work.
Could you imagine having these buzz around like crazy?
Yeah.
Wait.
Direct line. Like, I'm going to work, so all of a sudden this takes me up like a cab and takes me directly to work and lands on the roof, and I get out and I'm there.
Right.
No having to go through the turns and traffic lights and everything.
This is not bad. Cool. This is not bad at all.
Cool.
Now there's a whole bunch of people that are like, I need to get down to 220. Doing some lunges while they're waiting for this to develop.
Puts down the bucket of chicken.
Free bucket of chicken. I want to fly the drone.
Sorry. They will be coming in an extra large model sometime later.
Thanks for watching the Category5.tv newsroom. Don't forget to like and subscribe for all your tech news with a slight Linux bias. And for more free content, be sure to check out our website. From the Category5.tv newsroom, I'm Sasha Dermatis.